Why did Cain kill Abel? Anybody know? Why? That's one answer. Jealousy. You know, the Bible tells us exactly why Cain killed Abel. We know that the devil was behind this, okay? But it was more to it than that. So I got to start at the beginning. You had Adam and Eve, and here they were, and Adam approached Eve and said, ask her if she'd like to go out and have dinner with him one afternoon. So they go out and they have a right nice dinner, and they see each other a few more times, and they just become quite smitten with one another. And they have more and more time together, and they get married, and they, guess what happens? They have a child. We're going to start right there. You know that when Adam and Eve had their first child, Satan was anticipating that child. I'm going to show you this in a second. Here in the beginning, when they sinned and they were cast out of the garden, Genesis 3:15 says this: there was a curse given. There was one given to the man, one given to the woman, and one given to Satan. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity," which means hatred or hostility, "between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, this is the first prophecy that they had, that we have, of a promised Messiah coming, because of what Satan did, that there was going to be some repercussions from this. So here's the devil waiting. And guess what happens? Here comes a child. Well, he's done told them that there was going to be enmity put between his seed and him. And here comes this child. Okay? Genesis 4:1-8 says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." Now we've just told you the reason between that passage we just read and this passage, why Cain killed Abel. Cain was the firstborn. And guess what happened? The devil was told by God that there would be a seed coming that would take him out. He saw Cain. Was that the child that was going to kill the devil? Then along came Abel. How did Abel know to give that sacrifice to God? That he wanted the fat of the lamb, that he wanted the blood spilt. How did Abel know that that was a sacrifice? See, it makes sense to us that Cain brought the best that he had, which he was a tiller of the ground and the fruit, but then Abel was a tender of the flock. And so each of them brought the best that they have. This is the idea that we just do our best for the Lord. But they both brought the best before God, and God was not pleased with one of the offerings. How did Abel know that God wanted what he wanted in the offering. He listened. Do you know who else had a sacrifice made for them? Their parents, Adam and Eve. They're the ones that told them what God required of them when they brought this offering. They didn't just make this up in their mind. Cain wouldn't listen. He wasn't listening to God. You know why he wasn't listening to God? He was listening to the devil. Because the devil wanted to know, when he saw this sea, he thought, surely Cain is the one. He thought it was going to happen right then and there. He thought that was the one. But when he started talking to Cain, Cain started listening to him, and he realized Cain wasn't the one. Along come Abel. Abel wouldn't listen to him. So you know who he thought it was? That seed that was coming, that was going to bruise his head, that was going to take him out? Cain would listen to him. Abel wouldn't. So you know who he thought it was? He thought it was Abel. So he had Cain kill Abel. He thought that God was going to make it happen because of sin right then and there that happened in the garden, because the curse that was laid on him, because he was told that there was a seed coming. The devil thought that it was going to happen right then and there. And when he had two seeds, one listened to him and one would not, he had to assume that it was Abel, so he had Cain kill Abel. That's why Cain killed Abel. He thought the way to stop God was to kill his messenger. Kill the one that was going to bruise his head by his heel. He thought that was the way to do it. That's why Cain killed Abel. But there's a lot more to this. How about Job? If you look at Job, it's a very difficult book. Not because of what's in there, but because of where it's placed in history. There's not a lot of clues by theologians. There's not a lot of to place this time period. But they believe that Job was a descendant of Esau. Esau was a descendant of Abraham. So Job was a descendant of Abraham. And so when we put this in perspective, we've done this before, where we said that the time that we see Abraham and he's called out from the land of the Chaldeans, and where he's standing over Sodom and Gomorrah and he's talking with the Lord, there's also Job in the background. Because Abraham's an old man. And Job, not so much as an old man, as we see his life progress. We said that Job's life was probably in the time of Abraham's life or right at his death. So they were descendants of one another. So here the devil went after Job. And in Job 1:8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant?" So any arguments that Job wasn't listening to God doesn't fit, because God Himself called Job His servant. And He says, there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. But Satan wanted this man. Why do you think he wanted this man? Because he was listening to God. And Satan knew that there was a child coming that was going to kill him. Was it Job? Job was listening to God. He even petitioned God, "Let me have this man in my hands." How about Genesis 22:9-12? "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham!' And he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" You see a parallel between these two here? Job feared God. And Satan came to him to tempt him. Abraham feared God. Satan came to Abraham in the same way that he came to Job to tempt him, to not obey God. But God didn't let it happen. Job was restored. And the Bible said here he would not let him kill his son. Abraham was fully willing to slay his only son, whom God... Now remember, Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Esau. Isaac and Ishmael. And he had two sons, and God had told him that Ishmael wasn't the promised seed, that it was going to be Isaac. But yet God told him to take him up there and slay that promised seed. He was going to do that because he concluded, the Bible said, that if he would slay that boy whom that seed would come from, he said that he would raise him from the dead. Because he had that much faith in God, Abraham did. He would listen to him, and he feared God, and he was going to do it. I don't know of too many people that want to kill their children. Not all the time, just maybe every once in a while. But not all the time. It happens. The point is that we see Satan came after Cain and killed Abel. Satan came after Job. Satan came after Abraham. How come? The reason is because Satan has always been chasing a child. Satan was looking for that one that was going to kill him. And he was trying to kill him first. He thought he was smarter than God. He thought he knew more than God. And he thought that he could outsmart God. He thought he'd have one up on him. That's why he tore down creation. But he never, ever had one up on God. You'll see that in a few minutes. Go to 1 Samuel, which we'll be talking about, Lord willing, here in a couple weeks. 26:2, then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness. He was coming after David and he was going to kill him. And if you look into Samuel and you look into Kings, David was being chased all the time. There were several stories in there where Saul was constantly trying to kill David. Why? Because David was listening to God. You see, Satan was always after David, from Saul to after his death, with all the enemies of Israel, for David was called a man of war. David had turmoil and strife and fights his entire life as king. Read Psalms. Those passages that we read in Psalms where he says, I can't remember if I put it in here or not. He says that, I think I did. Yeah, 42:3. He says, my tears have been my food day and night while they continually say to me, where is your God? David learned to trust the Lord more than he feared the man with the sword. And this wasn't an analogy. This was literal. There were people coming after David from the time that he was a youth trying to kill him. But in the very beginning, David said, when Goliath was out there, and he said, who is this man out here blaspheming my God? And they told him, they said, what are you going to do? You're just a youth. And he said, I protect the sheep. He says, the lion comes but can't get it because I kill the lion with my bare hands. He says, the bear comes, and he says, I don't let the bear have it because I kill the bear. And so when he was able to go out and fight Goliath, the Bible says that he ran towards Goliath because he loved his God more than he feared men. And Satan saw this, and Satan was after it. But see, a lot of people will say that the reason that David had so much turmoil and so much strife and his tears were his food, the reason was because he was a man of war. Because he was constantly fighting and God was against that. That's people that cut Scripture out and they want to make that their religion. If they would have just backed up and read the first two verses, they would have read this. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? The reason that he was chased this way, because nothing was more important to him than his God. He lived that way, he fought that way, and he was willing to die that way. And Satan saw this. See, not everybody was like this. And Satan was chasing a child. How many people were alive at the time of David? I don't know. But a lot. And Satan was looking at all these people and he was looking for someone that was listening to God, that was following God, because there was a seed coming that was going to kill him. Was David that seed? You see, Satan pursued David not because he was a man of war, but because he was a man after God's own heart. And so Satan had to wonder, was this the child that God promised? A lot has occurred since the Garden of Eden when he thought that it was Cain or Abel. He didn't know who it was. The reason I'm telling you all this is because, see, we fight an enemy that looks like he's powerful. And he is. Looks like he knows what he's doing. And he does. But not more than God. He is not winning. And it looks like he's winning. If we look around and we see the fight and we see the strife and we see people not wanting to hear the truth, it looks like he's winning. But I'm going to show you, he never had a clue. Satan found that child. Remember, he was looking for him. He found him. But he didn't find him because he was so smart. He found him because John the Baptist blew the bugle, blew the horn, and announced the coming king. That's how he found out who it was. He had been chasing all these people. He'd been chasing Abraham and Moses and Job and David. Is that the child? Is that the child? Is that the child? Chasing all these ones. He wasn't smart. God told him, here's the child you're looking for. And he announced it in John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the coming of the Lord. He'd been chasing. You know who he was also chasing throughout the Old Testament? He was chasing those prophets. Because he didn't know. Was it Zechariah? Was it Daniel? Why do you think Daniel was in the lion's den? Satan thought, is he the one? And he tried to kill him. But Daniel wasn't the one. And God didn't let him die. Satan found that child. We see this in Revelation 11, 7 through 10. It says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends from the bottom pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. I didn't know Jesus was crucified in Sodom or Egypt. You know why they bring that in there? Sodom is a spiritual representation of the evilness of the world in Egypt, of the depravity of a life without God, sin, unrepentant sin. Egypt was a nation filled with false gods that they worshipped. We have nations now that worship millions of gods. And when you bring Jesus to them, they'll gladly accept Him, along with their other 2.1 million gods. It's called Hinduism. Verse 9, and then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Satan was dancing around. He was happy. I have found the child. I have killed the child. And all the people that were excited about helping him and doing his bidding, they were all laughing and partying and hooping it up. Remember, the Jews said, crucify him, let his blood be on our own hands. And when he was brought to that cross, when he was brought before Pilate, all of his disciples fled away. And Rome was happy that this man that was causing problems was going to be put in silence. The Jews were happy that all of these, this man and all of his followers, that they were trying to take away their seat of power, that he was going to be done away with. They thought, just like Satan did, because they were the ones behind it, thinking that if they killed Jesus, if they killed him, that would stop God. You said someone was coming that was going to take me out, and I found him. Woo, God, and I destroyed him. I hung him on a tree and I killed him. And now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He's dead. What are you going to do? Oh, he was excited because he'd been looking for for that child since the beginning of our time. That child rose from the dead. And he stood in Satan's face and said, "You have done all that you could do to me. Everybody that worshiped me, everybody that came and listened to me, they fled from me. You hung me in front of everybody on a stake, naked for all the world to see. You discredited me. My justice from this world was taken away. My own countrymen disowned me. And now you have put me in the grave, and I have risen from that grave, and I'm alive forevermore. Now what are you going to do?" Oh, he was furious. You know why? Because he thought he had one up on God. And God had cast him down. He was so mad. Revelation 12 tells us he was so mad when he found this out. That when Jesus entered heaven, he took off into heaven after Christ, thinking that he could take on the risen Christ. And the Bible tells us in chapter 12, even in chapter 12 of Revelation, if you read it, the Bible said the dragon was standing there waiting for that child to be born. Because he was chasing the child and he found that child and he killed that child and God raised that child from the dead. And when he saw that happen and Jesus ascended, he thought he could take on the risen Christ, and he went and took off after Satan. Took off after Christ, and a war broke out in heaven and he was cast to the earth. "There will be no more place for you. This is my place now. I have defeated you. I have risen from the dead, and you have no place." He was cast to the ground with a great fury. Anybody ever read Isaiah? Satan was so busy chasing that child and trying to stop God that he never for a minute stopped to really listen to God. I know that we're busy people, but don't let what we have to do stop us from taking a moment to listen to God. And we're not listening for some still, small voice in ourselves, our consciousness speaking to us. I'm talking about reading the Word of God. Don't ever be so busy in a week's time. I know certain times, like when you're on vacation, there's sickness, there's trouble at home. I know that there are times when maybe we can't open that book. Okay? Come on, we live in this world. I live in this world. But I'm telling you, don't ever get so busy that you can't take time to read. See, that's how the devil works. The further we get away from Scripture, the easier it is to do the things that the devil wants. Because when we stop listening to God, there's only one other voice that we hear, and that's the devil. Because God told the devil, if he would have just listened, he says, "You're trying to kill that child, and I've watched you for eternity. I've watched you from the beginning of their time until you hung him on that tree, and I watched you chase this child, and I watched you try to kill this child. But if you would have listened to me, you would have known that that wouldn't have worked." Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yes, it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Sound familiar? "Yes, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." He told Satan right there that that seed he was looking for, that was going to bruise his head and bruise his heel, he said, "When you make him an offering for sin, when you kill him, you will make him an offering for sin." And he said, and then through that death, all that time that you were chasing him, trying to kill him, "You're going to bring salvation to my people." And the devil knew that he didn't know everything. He was duped by God. He thought he had one up on him, and right there it was just shown to him and all the ones following him that he was nothing before God. He thought all that time that if he could just kill Christ, that that would solve the issue. Didn't happen. It's See, Matthew 5:11 says, and Jesus told us this. He said, blessed are you when they revile you. Now, Jesus, now when Satan knew that Jesus was that seed, I mean, come on now, when the bugle was blown and John the Baptist did this, and John the Baptist announced that the Son of God was going to be coming. He listened to Jesus. And Jesus told us here, He told the disciples. Because Jesus wasn't worried about Satan. He was worried about us and Satan. So Jesus wasn't coming to try to save His own skin. He knew what was going to happen. He was coming to give us strength. And so, the devil didn't listen to God. We better. Because He tells us right here, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for My sake. He said they're not real. You're not really being reviled. It may look that way, but not in the eyes of God. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus was telling them right there that the reason they chased those prophets is because they listened to God, and Satan wanted to kill those prophets. And if you listen to God, Satan's going to want to kill you. Why? He's no longer chasing a seed. That seed has come and has risen. Now, you know who he's after? He's after us. And so he watches us. And he watches how effective we are. He watches our humility. He watches how we reach out to people. He watches how we care about one another. He watches how we do things. And so he finds a way to get in between me and my wife. He finds a way to get in between us and the church. He finds a way to get in between me and my son. And you know what? Some days it's not hard. Matter of fact, I think I bring him an envelope and tell him, here's how you can do it. Some days it's not hard, but he's looking for this. He's looking for this. You be on guard and listen, because God has said, when this happens to you, accept it. Now look, I'm not talking about somebody coming into your house, smacking around your kids and stuff like that. Nobody's going to sit there while that happens. I'm talking about a spiritual picture that's happening. I'm talking about something that runs deeper since the beginning of time. Because even though God knew that it wouldn't do any good to kill those prophets, and kill Jesus, we didn't. Because when Jesus died, you know, he told them he was going to raise, but you know what they did? They hid in an upper room. You know why they did that? We have a hard time going past death. We have a hard time with that happens when we have someone close to us. We have a hard time with these things. And the devil knows that still works. He is after you any way that he can to get you to lose your faithfulness, to stop listening to God and listen to Him. Because you know, in the beginning, it's not so bad listening to Him. Right off the bat, if you don't come to church, you get to sleep in on Sunday morning. Instead of having a Friday night and then a Saturday, you have a Friday night and a Saturday night now. You don't have to worry about it. The devil doesn't just come to you with pitchforks, lies, thumbtacks, broken glass. He comes to you with the sweetest offerings, with the biggest promises. This is how he comes to you. But God told us, Jesus told us in his own words, and Thessalonians tells us that this actually happens, and it's the church that he's coming after. Listen, for this reason, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is, in truth, the Word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. Cain killed Abel. Abel brought that sacrifice. And Abel was able to stand because he listened to God. God gave him the strength to carry out what it was that he was supposed to do. God has a mission for all of us. I don't know what all of that is. But if you listen to Him, He gives you the strength to accomplish what it is that He puts you here for. The devil can't stop you, even in death. Because you are a witness to Almighty God. The gospel doesn't stop when I die. It's not going to stop when you die. It's going to stop when God says it's time to call everyone home. And the devil can kill you, and it's not going to matter. Because just like Jesus, He said that if you die, I will raise you from the dead, just as I raised my son from the dead. And He says here, verse 14, He says, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things, your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans." And here's how we know that it's coming to us. Because they killed the Lord Jesus. He was looking for that child. He found Him. He killed Him. They killed the Lord Jesus. They killed the prophets. And they've persecuted us. Talking about the apostles. And the context here that he's talking about is the church. Churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. "Forbidding us to speak to Gentiles that they may be saved." God doesn't want you to carry this message that you hear out into that world. He doesn't want people to know. The devil doesn't want him to know that you know what happened to him and that he doesn't know everything and he isn't smart. Because you know what? Had he been smart and had he listened to God instead of chasing that child, he would have realized from Isaiah that if he killed that child, that that would bring about what we have today. He didn't know. Remember in Revelation, he danced around for 3 days. Thought it was so great. He had killed that child. But if he'd listened to God, he wouldn't have made that fatal error. That's why God set it up that way. Because he knew, for one, that Satan wouldn't listen to God. He knew that he would kill Jesus. When we get mad, what's our first instinct to do? I mean, when we get really mad, it's for revenge. And God said, we can't do that. We shouldn't have a retaliatory spirit. Not a protective spirit, but a retaliatory spirit. Because that's how the devil works. Remember he said he has enmity, hatred towards the woman and their seed? When we put ourselves outside of what God does, we put ourselves on the plane with the devil and he can use us more. When we stop listening to God, we will start gravitating away. I've taught my daughter a lot. She's 13. But as she grows, if I stopped here, guess what would happen? Guess what would happen? Y'all know what would happen. Crash and burn. We have to listen to the authority that is in our life. And we cannot give up teaching those who are willing to listen. Because those that are willing to listen are the ones that Satan is coming after. And God Himself, in our witness, in what we do, in His Word, that's how we strengthen the brethren. That's how we protect one another. Verse 16, to finish that out, "forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. The wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." God did not sit idly by when He watched them kill, when He watched Abel being killed. The Bible says that His blood cried out to God. The righteous blood of Abel. And He tells us that vengeance is coming on those who disobeyed God all the way back to the righteous blood of Abel. Vengeance is coming upon Satan and those who listen to him and those who refuse God's message. It's coming. Now when we look around, we think that Satan's doing a pretty good job, right? Economy's in the tank. The whole world, it seems like there's people making money, but nobody's really making money. It seems like that our health care, that we should be able to handle most things now, but it's like it's run from behind a black curtain when nobody actually sees you. They just kind of press buttons randomly, roll the dice to see what you got. Our food is not actual food anymore. Genetically modified organisms, they call it. And the government we sit under says you don't even really need to know that. It shouldn't matter to you that your child is eating something that was grown in a petri dish and not out of the ground. It shouldn't matter. It does matter. See, when we look around and we see these killings and these bombings and people killing police, which makes no sense to me. I always feared the cops when they were coming. I was running. I was running the other way because sometimes they were chasing me. I used to have a dirt bike and I'd love to ride on the parkway. And here come these cops, man, and I'd just shoot off through the woods. I thought I was something, man. They can't catch me. What an idiot. But see, now if something were to happen and I called the police, I would want them to come there. When I'm at a stop sign and a cop shows up, I got the right of way, I let him go. These people deserve our respect, and there's people hunting them and killing them. It doesn't make any sense. And when we look around, we think, man, the devil really knows what he's doing. He thought he knew what he was doing, is my point. He thought he knew what he was doing. He doesn't. God has shown this from the beginning of time. Take confidence in the fact that the God that we serve knows us and knows Him. And He is certainly able to protect us, even through death, from Him. Serve God. Reject the things that are not from God. It's not going to happen overnight. But we have got to work on it. We've got to listen. Because what happened was the devil knew all of these things. Remember when Jesus showed up, what did he use against Jesus? Use Scripture, remember? A lot of people will come to you and dangle Scripture. Well, the Bible says this. John 3:16 doesn't say anything about that, so I'm not worried. They hear God, but they're not really listening. Don't be one of them. We got to listen to God. And how we listen is we read Scripture with the Holy Spirit in our life. If not, we're only able to see the physical picture. Just like those scientists who say, you know, that wasn't really a star. It was a planetary alignment and it was a bright light in the sky. And God already said, that's all it was anyway, a bright light in the sky. The real star was the child laying in the manger. The Bible tells us how to be saved. A lot of people read the Bible, but they don't listen to God. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. We can't stop there. That promise goes on to say, because some will tell you that was only for the Jews of that time, but He says that promise is to you, to your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. We can't stop there. The Bible says those who gladly received His word, 3,000, matter of fact, were baptized and they were added to them that day. Who's the them? They were added to the church. That was the day the church started. They were added to the apostles' teaching. We can't even stop there because the Bible says that once we're baptized, that is the beginning of our walk. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, prayers, breaking of bread, and in fellowship. Sorry, left that out. We have to be faithful people. Sometimes we forget how the real struggle is, and we forget that we're in real life. Now, most of the time, I get us to stand and sing a hymn of invitation, but this time, this is a short little, about 4-minute video. And it shows the birth of Christ. And it shows some of the struggles that they went through. Our life sometimes is all that we see. But when we look at the big picture that God has shown us, we can see that the Lord is at work in all of our lives. So as you watch this video, think today, was it the star in the sky that you saw that was the real star you were looking for, or are you looking for the child? And if you're looking for the child, you found him. And salvation can be found in His name. So when we're done with the video, if there's anyone that wants to come forward, we can baptize you into Christ. You can have salvation.